Hey, guys.
Hello.
Whoa.
So first I wanted to thank a couple people. The EFF, first of all, I know you guys are here for subverting the World of Warcraft API. It's now extending the World of Warcraft API. And I want to thank the Goons, too. Those guys are awesome getting us here and taking care of all the speakers. Like, they function on tips and beer, so, yeah. I'm Chris Mooney. This is James Lucky. This is our talk.
Which is broken.
So if there are any Blizzard employees...
Yeah.
Or if there are any fanboys in the audience, this NDA applies to you. You guys can feel free to read it.
Yeah.
You would do the same to us. I'm Chris Mooney. I work for volunteer on a nonprofit. So does James. We both work with Gearman. James works on Drizzle. We're C software engineers in the high performance, high availability space. We wrote this code together, and we have day jobs.
Yes. So.
In the talk, we're going to run a demo. We were originally hoping to do this in parallel, so you guys would have a demo screen and a slide screen, but that was kind of complicated to do, so we're going to try and speed this up a little bit, so everybody kind of get ready to take in a bunch, and then we'll get to the demo, which is the fun part to watch. What is the World of Warcraft API? So for those of you that don't know, it's basically a application programming interface for UI developers. People that want to change the way the UI looks, change the way it functions. Blizzard has sort of made this a plugin / add-on way to extend the UI because it doesn't look very good. It's basically written in Lua, which is an object-oriented scripting language. And you load add-ons in the game. They change the way it looks and feels. And this is important because you can get a lot of information out of the environment, and that allows you to take certain actions. And then you can inject inputs back into the environment, which is really, really important to making this code work. So the UI in the 2.0 patch, so for those of you who ever played World of Warcraft before Burning Crusades and your old school and it just came out, you used to be able to make a function, like nuke player, and then you could create this cast spell by name, fireball, and you'd make a macro / nuke player, bind that to a key, and you could just from a key press cast a spell like that. Without macros in Lua, in the API language that they had provided for you. And that looks a little bit like, see this pre-seal function over here. You go through your party members, determine who needs health, and then down here, I'm sorry for you guys that I'm neglecting this side of the thing, but I'll try and. Down here, there's a target unit and a cast spell by name function. Right in that area. Oh, look, I can't even look at, that's all you're going to get. This allowed certain add-ons like Decursive, One Hit Wonder, the code that we had originally written to work. People use this extensively to do all sorts of really cool things like, determine if somebody needed heal. You could do that all programmatically from a button press. And then they decided that they didn't want people to do that. Next slide. So, they removed stuff like target unit, cast spell by name, to normal mortals like us, and made them protected functions, which means that your add-on had to be signed by Blizzard and couldn't call the functions unless your add-on was signed and it couldn't use them. They also changed certain things like set binding click so that you couldn't bind in combat. So like, if you were in combat, you can't just rebind your keys quickly in combat so that you could continue to cast something in your rotation or whatnot. And and so basically you see these functions over here, all these add-ons before too, the decursive one-hit wonder, all that stuff, all this stuff was disabled. If you guys were around then and you play the game, you know what that meant. It was a big paradigm shift for both coders and players. And they basically, this is the same function. The red here on each slide is the type of function that they removed. So that was the API call, no longer worked. Why'd they make the changes? I'm going to skip right down to the bottom one here. Maybe they hate us. Because we all put a lot of code into this and a lot of time, and you know they just said, forget it, we don't care. But really, I think it was something about trying to stop programmatic decision making. So they didn't want us to basically have some person hit a key and have it make some sort of heuristic decision about what to do. And it's kind of weird because everybody could do it, so it was kind of like mutually assured destruction at that point. And then they removed it, which made us really powerful. Then there's some new terms of service changes, but for speed, I'm just going to go past those. Basically, if you know the game, you read them, they're sucky. Our plan of attack is we want to work around the protected functions, not circumvent. We want to, sorry, EFF, thank you again. I know that some, it's basically assigned functions are algorithmically secure. It's supposed to be mathematically intractable to be able to produce a signature for your code and whatnot. And the awesome attack that I'm sure you guys would want us to do is, crack that or find some sort of way to do that. But that's the strongest chain in our little security problem, and we're going to just sidestep it entirely. So I know that some of you may say that's cheating. There's no such thing as cheating in computer security. So we just identify our objectives and find the path of least resistance, so that weakest link. And there are a few other things that are pretty important here. Blizzard really, really wants you, it's pretty aggressive about prosecuting certain people. And we wanted to work well within that framework. Again, we have day jobs and actual wives and, lots of other things going on in our lives. We don't want to spend a ton of time trying to break this just to have a little bit of fun. So we thought that maybe, trying to deal with their constant patching and upgrades to binaries would be a pain. So we didn't want to just change the flow of execution in binaries. We also didn't take the protocol route. We were originally planning on a bunch of this stuff, but we looked at the easiest solution. And then there were other considerations, WoW Glider and just how Blizzard functions with the DMCA, what they've done in the past. We wanted to make sure that we would steer away from anything that could be considered a circumvention technique. And I think I would advise all of you in the room to pay close attention to the DMCA and lessons to be learned from cases. They are okay with a few things. First of all, they provide you the API. And so we wanted to use that API. They gave it to us. It's not, wrong to use it. They're okay with that. And also, they're okay with multi-boxing. So this is the idea of having one controller that will repeat your button presses to multiple boxes. So you can have, four or five mages or shamans or something like that. You hit one button, and they all cast the same exact spell at the same exact time. We made sure that we tried to stick within all of these rules. Next slide. Binding keys out of combat. Let me just say that this is how we did it. And feel free to start reading the code. There's going to be a couple slides of it. Hopefully we don't go too fast, but the demo's way more impressive. So basically you can see this profit key binding. The code is called BTP code because it was a guild that we were in and they were called Behead the Prophet. And so over there you see that we're calling profit key bindings, which is this function over here, snip. There's a bunch of detection work to determine if you're in combat or not, remember, because we can't bind keys in combat, so it doesn't try to. And then you go down into, and I'm having trouble reading the red, which was a terrible idea to choose that, but we basically, I know what this does, it takes a button, creates a virtual button, assigns some information to it, and then winds up down here taking that button and binding it to a key press. So that's the last red line. Next slide. So this is the same key bindings function you're just looking at. So now we're going to map those key bindings to a color. You guys are probably starting to see what we're going to do here. And so you've got this mapping, and then it's basically just a hash. It takes whatever whatever key it is and maps it here, and then there's another function up here, which I actually can't remember what this. So this is going to take keys and bind them to RGB values. This is a bunch of rolling through different keys, and we're going to bind it to a bunch of those RGB values. So then we display the colors in some frames. Again, the red text over here basically goes through and allows us to call a function and set that particular, so when you say, you know, cast spell fireball, it winds up mapping that to a color, which is displayed in this frame. So this is the frame code to display that. And you can see, basically, you know, like I said, we're kind of rushing through this. So, then we replace the API function. So remember the fuck Blizzard, I'm sorry. Love Blizzard. We don't mean it like profanely. We mean it as a term of endearment. We replaced all of the function names, maybe in the beginning out of frustration. Now we, trying to make peace. And so we replaced them with this function that basically calls this mapping and winds up displaying the color. And then you'll look down here, this FFFFF value is sort of a signaling frame for us. And so this is what our new cast spell by name and our new target unit function looks like. So up here and down here. And then over on the right, you can see this is the original function. Remember, they disabled it. And what we've done is put our new API calls in here. This is just frames have context. You'll see this in the demo. I'll try and explain more. But there are a bunch of different frames. Inventory target, inventory action, container target, container action, up here in the top and down to like player action and whatnot. And that's for targeting and casting spells and whatnot. And then what we do is take outside controller program. Remember we said auto hotkeys, which is something for Windows. And we scan for this gradient blue. To detect where each frame is for the outside controller program, and then we basically the far left frame, did I frame to the far right? That's incorrect. It's left. The frame to the far left signals that there's input. We scrape the color from that frame, so we basically are doing a frame buffer call and getting the information from that, and we have that color mapped to a key in the controller program, and it hits that key, but it hits it in a sequence of a bunch of contexts. So, let's see. Yeah, so this is the PC controller. We used auto hotkeys because Blizzard is okay with people using auto hotkeys for multiboxing. It's a scripting language. It has an API to get pixels, although it's kind of slow because you need to set up a context each time you grab a pixel. Reads the pixels from the frame, takes an action based on that color, and this is just sort of the syntax, which is maybe not as interesting. And we also, in the next slide, have a Mac controller, which is written in Objective-C. It's way faster, and it works way better because we wrote it, as opposed to having to use some weird scripting language. And I think that we could get the same speed out of Windows if we sort of followed the same model, but we didn't take the time to write a C++ controller or something. So, So what kind of cool things can we do now? We can cast spells, we can target, and we can move again, and we can do that all programmatically. So it's basically, remember the pre-2.0 patch days, we've reverted everything back to that. We can re-enable a bunch of old add-ons by replacing their old calls, although those old add-ons, because they're no longer being developed, are probably deficient in a bunch of other ways. Let's see, we've written our own substitutions for one-hit wonder, decursive, that sort of thing. We have a bunch of heuristic casting modifications. So, basically, you know, does this person need a heal? Should I cast this really end a destructive spell on somebody? You know, the types of things that you would expect in a game like this. So I don't want to say artificial intelligence, but there's definitely something close. And this is really fun. So even in the pre-2.0 days, you could not target or cast spells or do any of these things in response to, or you at least couldn't cast spells in response to a in-game event. It had to be a hardware button press that triggered that cast spell by name function. That's no longer necessary with us. We basically, if I'm sitting here and I'm going to fight James, and he starts casting a fireball on me, that event is triggered in my UI, and so that I can see his animation of him casting the fireball. And when that's triggered, it can instantly just call our code and say, well, silence, and it will automatically just silence him. So you get this sort of really unfair. That was a few more in the last one. So let's see, we have healing DPS helpers. They'll follow you around, and there's a bunch of control functions to do it. You can do all sorts of things, trade items with them, like make them do stuff. There's lots of fun there. We started, you know, trying to run an instance, and we would tag a bunch of these things onto us in the back because nobody wanted to heal back then. And so we could run instances, just the two of us, like, hanging out, and that was a lot of fun. Let's see. Using the movement functions, again, yeah, that's right. So notice we're using the word helpers here. Again, EFF, thank you for redefining our terms. You can call a helper to you. This was kind of fun. We created this thing called BTP booty call, and you would whisper it off to a robot, and I'd be sitting there in some zone fighting somebody, and the robot in some town in Shadrath or something would mount up and fly all the way up as high as he could go so he didn't clip against anything, and then he would basically do XY coordinate stuff and just fly over to me until I'm fighting, and all of a sudden this druid comes dropping in from behind me and would just start healing. So it's pretty fun stuff. That was a hop, skip, and a jump to do, and I'm sorry for the fanboys and everything, to do node farming or any of those things. On top of that, although all of that is broken now because it takes sort of a priori information of those XY coordinates to go there, and we didn't repopulate that for the Frozen Throne. We haven't actually been playing that much. We were a little freaked out on Tuesday because we were like, oh, I wonder if they've patched it and totally broken the code, because that would really mess our talk up. But they didn't. This is a fun one. We're going to demo this. You can use the follow functions to follow someone in Battlegrounds. So we have like maybe 9 characters, which we'll probably be demoing how they work over in the contest area. We haven't set up there yet because we wanted to give the talk first. But we have 9 characters, and we're going to demo how they work, and we're maybe thinking of doing some sort of like raffle or something to give a bunch of characters away, because we don't actually play the game anymore.
Done.
There's a bunch of really cool things that you can do there. A controller player. This is fun. Yeah, so James primarily wrote the code that does this, but controlling player now can, remember that they let you multi-box, so you can have, you know, 5 or whatever things following you around casting the same spells. Well, our code really lets that happen, so it's class diverse now. You can have like a whole team of healers and tanks and all this other stuff. James wrote a bunch of code that winds up triggering the other robots so that you can control their spellcasting. So if your inventory is restricted to a particular class, now your spell inventory, that is, now your spell inventory is pretty much diverse across as many classes as you want if you write the code to do that, so you can, you know, do
and
things that you never
expect.
Stunlock forever sort of thing. Yeah, that's it for this slide. I think that's some cool stuff. So we have a project. You guys might want to write some of this stuff down because the slide's going to disappear for the demo. We haven't opened it up to the public yet because we wanted to give the talk and then just allow everybody to get in and grab the code and play with it, use the framework. It's kind of messy right now. There's some stuff that I wish we would have cleaned up, but we didn't. And it has some forums and a wiki, but all that stuff is kind of preliminary. We have a project on Launchpad, which will have the source code, and we encourage you to branch what we've done and adapt, because this is public now. They're going to try and probably stop it, so I would encourage you to adapt. It won't be that hard. We've thought about the ways that they can stop this, and you guys can pretty much get yourselves around it. We're GPLing the source. Let's see. Developers wanted, remember, we want that C++ version of the controller. There's not complete code for all classes. I don't think Warrior or Death Knight or any of those classes have code yet, but you just follow a template for other people and you're all set. And maybe port some of those old add-ons that people used to like to the new API. And we're moving on to other projects. So anyone want to take over the project? Come and see us afterwards. That's it. So big conclusions here. Tiled background images are fail. And monochrome text is win. So what we're going to do is try and show a bit of a demo of how this works. So this is a Druid. And this is Warsong Gulch. Nobody pay attention to the names up in the corner. In fact, actually, I hope the resolution's so terrible you can't read it, Blizzard employees, so you don't ban it while we're doing the demo. We have a lot of other accounts, and we will just continue, though. So is it in PvP mode?
Yes.
So we're putting the robot in PvP mode. And now we're going to go to the outside controller program. Helper. We're putting the helper into PvP mode. And so there's just a couple little things here, and we just hit start. Oh, wait, hold on a sec. Key empty? No. Is that 9 or 0 or something?
All right.
And start. And then once you give the window focus, it should start trying to do some interesting things. Go ahead and click on the... Oh, no, what's going on? Oh, fail. This never happens. All right, good. Yeah, we're good. Go ahead and...
All right. Hold on a second.
We're going to start over. It's okay. We're good on time, right? So you guys can pretty much... Yeah, so this is what's worth it. The robot is fun, and so I want you guys to watch it, sort of enjoy what... Helper? Sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry. They talked to me like an hour ago, and I have to remember the terms. Okay, so you guys can start to see like a little bit of weird flashing up here. Do you see this little white thing? So what he's trying to do right now is mount up so that when somebody runs by him, he can quickly connect on and start following them. And in the corner up here, this is that left signaling frame. It'll turn white. Actually, is that off the screen a little bit over there? Maybe. So we're just going to wait to get in here. While we wait, we have 30 minutes. I think it's really fun if you guys play the game, if you want to ask any questions. I have a green laser pointer, and I will blind hecklers. So feel free to... Oh, got to get focus again. Click on the window. Oh, interesting.
Just trying to know.
Hold on. We're pro.
This works very well, we swear.
Yeah, it does. Oh, and we'll be demoing this the entire time in the... okay, there we go. All right. So we're just waiting to queue. Does anybody have any questions? Sure. Yeah, go ahead. So WoW Glider doesn't really do what we do. We just entered Battlegrounds. Oh, and also, James, hands off. So he's buffing everybody right now while we talk. So WoW Glider takes an interesting approach to doing this. They went the, I think, finding memory and modifying memory and working like that. People use this program called WoW Glider used because Blizzard decimated them. Use this program to basically, you know, level their characters and whatnot. Which I should say, we tried to do some of that with ours in our first invocation of the program. We had two characters banned in the first day. So, it's already all right. So there, it's going somewhere. Yeah, questions. Sure. Right, so he was asking how well it handles chat interaction with other players and whatnot, and I will say this, so there's a little bit of, I guess you could call it, I still think it's heuristic, artificial intelligence. So do you guys know what the AIML is? It's the AI markup language. The Alice bots are written on it and whatnot. We wrote a bunch of auto responses, so when people, got a heal, we're good. Sorry, this is going to be distracting for me. I get kind of like ooh shiny when I'm watching these things. What was I saying there? The chat code. So we basically put all these responses in based on AIML. So when someone whispers us and says, "Hey, great heals," we say something sort of plausible back to them. and a funny story about this is I have a warlock robot that I was running through Battleground. Helper. That I was running through Battlegrounds, and this GM whispers the helper, and GM is a game master. They're the, you know, gods of this little universe. James will help it along just to get it to tag onto other people.
So you can see the combat.
Yeah. This is just good for demo, but you can leave it, and it will do the right thing. hands up. Yep. Okay. He's getting kicked around. So basically, the GM whispers it and is like, "Hey, how are you doing today?" And you know, the robot's like, helper is like, "Hey, I'm doing just fine. How are you?" They have this little dialogue, and after about six of these, the helper says back to the GM, "Look, I'm really busy. I'd like to just get back to playing the game." Oh, it gets better. So then it's programmed to just ignore the responses that the GM sends it, and so the GM's like, "No, really, you need to talk to me," and it just goes on and on, and it gets to the 10th response, and the helper says, "I told you I was trying to get back to the game. Welcome to my ignore list," and it actually calls the API calls and puts the ignore in. So it turns out they have a little hook that doesn't let you ignore a GM, and the next thing says, "You can't ignore me. I'm a GM. You're banned," and basically kicks the helper from the game. And so I get home from work and checking my email, and I'm like, "Fuck! Oh no!" So I sent a response to the people that handle the complaints, and I said, I'm sorry. First, I should say that it logs all conversations, so I looked at that, and it was plausible. It was actually a plausible conversation. So I sent a response back and said, "This GM was a total asshole to me. Like, what's going on? He kicked me off and banned my character. I was sitting right there." And I got an email back with an apology. And they re-enabled my account, and I still have that account. So that's how it does in-game chat stuff. It also, you can control it. You can send it help messages and whatnot. So it turns out, humans, you're still good at something. It performs okay in Arena, but it's not the sort of thing that's easy to farm. I certainly play Arena with robots tagged to my back as a primary controlling character. Oh, sorry, helpers. This isn't going to happen, obviously. My brain's incapable of figuring that out. And, I've played it, but if you put them in alone, they'll get crushed. They just sort of stand there in the corner and heal themselves. It's really funny. I watched a 30-minute battle once where they had, like, feared me off of the helper and killed me, and then the helper wound up standing there healing itself for about 30 minutes while two people tried to kill it. That doesn't win you points and isn't that effective. So, any other questions? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, okay, yeah. So how are we modifying the Lua files? So we're not really modifying any Lua file. This is an add-on. Yeah, this is totally legit with Blizzard. So he's saying that we're kind of in the same domain as WoWGlider. I think that there are some very subtle arguments that can be made. Did we die? It should resurrect, but there's kind of a bug that makes us quick. So yeah, there we go. And then it'll just wait and do something. I think there are some very subtle arguments that can be made, but I'd rather not really comment on that right now. He is in appeals. And everyone here, hope that the WoWGlider guy wins that appeal, because the way that Blizzard got that judge to define what copyright was, between the interaction of the running elements that are essentially instantiated on the machine and the user, is totally jacked up. It's very, very strange, and I think the EFF can talk a little bit more about that, but basically makes almost anything by that abstract definition a circumvention technology in our domain. So, let's see. Do I want to cue questions? We don't have a microphone or anything, but I'll get you in next.
Do you have any evasion detection? Because I'm pretty sure if someone were to report this and start monitoring, they would notice a pretty constant 1 millisecond delay between every action.
Well, people mash the keys. So the question was, do we have any evasion detection? We don't. I definitely think you could inject some sort of variance in there, make the robot look more like it's a handy helper, like it's a human or something. But we don't try and avoid Warden. Again, AutoHotkeys is the program that a lot of people use for multiboxing. And so, I think that would be tricky. I'm going to get the guy on the wall, and then I'll grab you. All of them. Let's see. So Warsong Gulch is probably the most... Which battlegrounds is it recommended for? It works really well in all of them. So if you're going to farm AV, you should do it during the day when people are there at night. So those of you running Battlegrounds AFK bots, you suck because you break the major function of how this works. Your quick bot goes into Battlegrounds, our quick helper goes into Battlegrounds, and then we follow you, and you stand there doing this. and that doesn't help. Where are we on the healing meters now?
Number two.
Oh, that's good.
Number one for the horde.
I bet that other guy has PvE gear, probably. So we've got PvP gear. And so there are certain battlegrounds that this is better for, but they all work equally well in certain times of day and in certain contexts. There was somebody over. Yes.
What's the score
in game right now? Is that the okay? So that was the we were second on the healing meter. Go ahead and you bring it up again, James, if you want. Oh wait, what?
Alliance one.
Oh, Alliance
four
one.
Zero.
Yeah, well, that's because if a good player were to step up, we'd heal him. yes. Yeah. The leveling up bot helper, the thing that we tried to do. So first of all, Blizzard really doesn't like that. And we think it was just really obvious. We were starting, it was the first day of code that we were testing, and we hadn't sort of added in any of this stuff to make it look human and plausible, and it failed the test because someone walked up to it and said, hey, what's this? And then reported it, and two accounts got banned. So, let's go back here. It will continue to heal itself or other players that are around. If it's, say, a warlock or something, it will continue to do DPS. Did everybody hear the question? It was basically, if somebody dies and we're not following anybody, what does it do? So it will continue that piece of combat. If it's a rogue, this is really funny, the rogue will just go to town on the druid's back, but it has this buff called Thorns, which does a little bit of damage each time, and it's healing itself, and so rogues will kill themselves trying to kill the druid, at least. We also have a priest, warlock, paladin, shaman. There's all of these classes work. If everyone dies, so if this was a DPS bot and it killed people, which is really funny because it does, this mage once was casting on the back of it, and I was like, well, I'm going to be honest here and see if this passes the Turing test and not touch the keyboard. And the mage decided to move around to the front of the warlock, and the warlock decimated the mage and, like, was almost dead, so the mage just kept going at the back. It will then mount up. So if it's out of combat, it will mount up and wait for another friendly player to run by, and it will tag onto the back of them. It follows the signal of whether it should be mounted based on whether or not the person it's following is mounted. Yeah, go ahead.
How old is it doing PvE instances, like dungeons and such?
So it does really well in PvE instances. In fact, there's another druid that I don't have here that has the full tier sets for Naxxramas or whatever, the tier 7.5, and it works really well. So what you do is you take the follow mode off, and then you just move it around in the instance with all of your guildmates, and it will make these decisions quickly, and you can give it priority lists. You can tell it these are tanks, these are lower priority, and it will try and do everything. You can also put it into a like raid healing mode where it only puts one hot on all raid members unless they're in a really critical state. And so, questions? Go ahead. Actually, I'm going to leap over you in the red shirt because the guy behind you is.
Can you get so that in the event the character's following dies, it actually resurrects?
Oh, yeah, it does. It will. Yeah, you'll act back. It already did it, I think. If you look down here, this is the rebirth buff, I'm pretty sure. The rebirth spell, and it's in cooldown, which means someone died and it resurrected them. So, I'm gonna try and step back in the room. Brown shirt. Timing mechanisms, like, what do you mean by that? Like, Yeah, so he's asking if there were, so in the beginning there were counters and a bunch of other stuff, and Blizzard took that stuff out. We didn't re-add that stuff. We started modifying the game after those things existed, and so, we tried to scratch the itch that we wanted, but if we had those things disabled on us, there's a chance we probably could have done something. That's a little bit trickier. We have a callback system instead. So what happens is you make certain decisions, and if they're time-based or if they should happen or be checked over and over, we have a whole callback system in place. And, oh, hey, look, we're helping the flag person. We're going to win. And so when it goes back in, so it's when these functions are called again, they're sort of reentrant, and it goes and calls the callback and does a check for something that happened in a previous instance of the code run. So, oh, is there a lot of red around? Oh, okay, yeah, we're doing great. Oh, it's the other flag carrier. I see what's going on. So, hands off, James. How are we on time right now? Anybody know what time it is? We have 18 minutes left.
Eight minutes.
All right. Well, we have plenty of time for more questions and more fun. So, yeah. Go on. Yeah, sure. Black Hat. So there are, in response, legally or programmatic, like, you know, legally or technically? Oh, no. So the question is, will things that we've done here make your game experience worse in the future? This is an important thing for Blizzard to understand that, there are certain things they can do that will make your game experience worse because of what we've done. Honestly, I don't think it's the right direction to go. The community, you know, is already upset about this sort of thing. Did we win that flag race? Okay. So the community is already pretty upset about certain things, and they're kind of losing developers right now. Basically, their recent add-on changes, and they slowly lose developers because they're becoming disenfranchised with Blizzard. I think that either re-enabling these functions and making this code useless, or you know, just letting it be, would be much better for the community. Obviously, then we wrote the code, right?
So. Yeah, we're a little biased.
Yeah, a little biased. So there are things. What? I let the flag carrier? It let the flag carrier die?
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, it's a druid. They only have pots, you know? It's not like, that's not our fault. It did the best it could. Yeah. Was it out of mana?
We're losing. It's not because our robots suck.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, top one. Of the healing meter still, though, right? Helper, James. Helper. So, you know, the multi-boxing stuff, I would hope that they don't disable that because I know that's a lot of fun for people and whatnot. Blizzard. Yep, go on. Yeah, so let's talk about the frame context a little bit. Up here at the top, if you've noticed, oh, good, look, it's being active for us. Their white box is a signaling frame that says, hey, there's data. And then each one of these boxes at the top here is a different context. So it might be a targeting context or an inventory context, a container context. You know, there's a context for targeting, a context for taking an action, a context for your pet's targeting, your pet's actions. This is very cool. And basically each one of those colors is corresponding to a different type of button press. And we just line them up and detect the colors, map them to their presses, send the events, and it basically does everything that it would need to. So that's what the frames are. Really simple, right? I mean, it's kind of a bit of code to make this work, but it's not like some major security breakthrough. It's well within the framework. It's pretty simple. Okay, I'm going to go with this guy right here. So the question was if, so there's dual boxing websites or dualboxing.com or something to that effect. Do we recommend any sort of dual boxing programs? We kind of did this in a bubble. I actually don't know of any. There were some on the UI forums. Okay, so places that offer help to people. I wrote fanboys there for a reason, and whenever we try and go to the add-on community to talk about what we want to do, so when we wind up in their IRC channels and we're trying to solve a particular problem, they first ask us a very legitimate question: why do you want to do this? And, you know, because they might want to say, you're doing it wrong and you should do it this way. And when we honestly answer what the end objective is, they usually flame us and then ban us from their channels. So there's not a very good community that I know of, although there were some people. I want to do a shout out to Cogwheel, who is a developer that's done a lot of work here, and he's become a little bit disenfranchised with Blizzard, but a discussion that we had had on the forums led to this sort of fancy binding mechanism that we do for keys. And he doesn't know that's what it led to, but that's what it led to. So I don't know. If anybody has sites, you know, feel free to recommend them for that stuff. More questions? Anybody? Yeah, go ahead.
Is this plug-and-play now that you've made it public? Can people download this?
Yeah, you know, it's plug-and-play to a certain extent. There takes a little bit of knowledge. We didn't focus on trying to make the you know, lame end user, layman end user, well, same thing, I guess, you know, make this easy for them. So there's sort of, you know, go into this script and edit a bunch of stuff, you know, the kind of way you would if, like, you were programming in Perl or something like that. Change all these variables and set this stuff. It doesn't really make sense to you. And it's not too well documented, all the functions that are there, so it's sort of, you know, the source is the documentation right now, but it could be better for sure.
So I want to note real quickly, he did 644,000 healing, and the closest alliance was at 400,000. So.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Let's see. I'm going to go over here to the blue shirt. Oh, yeah, yeah. All the source code is going to be GPL'd and released. So the question was, will we release the Objective-C controller? We're going to release everything, so long as our attorneys think it's okay, I guess. But, yeah, we're going to release everything, hopefully by tonight. But, let's see, over here on the wall, white shirt. Oh, I couldn't really hear you.
Can you set it up on your laptops while we're here?
Yeah, yeah, we can help you set this up. Absolutely. Yeah, come on over. That's what we encourage you. We would like to show you how to use the API and write class code and do this stuff. So if you're into it, yeah. Let's see. What time is it right now?
We have
10 minutes left until what? 3 o'clock? We have 1 minute left? 10 of right now. Okay, let's take like a couple more questions. Let's do front row.
How well does it work with?
I have that shirt, by the way. I hack charities. That's awesome. Yeah, go on.
How well does it work with
your digital
product? Oh, it actually, we had to write some stuff there. So we don't want it to heal. Yeah, let's go ahead. Go ahead.
Sure.
Let's go to Strands of the Ancient. So their question was, how well does it work in vehicular combat? So this is siege weaponry and whatnot. We try to detect whether or not something's a siege weapon, and we try not to heal siege weapons. Occasionally, I think we buff them, but that's just a bug. That shouldn't happen because it doesn't work, and then it just buffs over and over, but that's inexpensive right now. What's really funny is that a consequence of all of this is that occasionally, so there's this farm BG field, you click on the Battlemaster to enter, and it will click on the siege weaponry and hop into it. So it's following somebody, and it's periodically clicking the center of the screen, and so it will click onto the siege weaponry and enter it, which, of course, gives it the protection of the siege weaponry so nobody can attack it, and then it heals everybody around the siege weapon. It's really cool. Let's see. I'll do this guy, because...
Whiners.
I, I am hoping that they take the same stance as protecting what we're doing as multiboxers. So the BG thing is kind of interesting, but really there's a kind of cool thing of being able to walk around with your guild in an instance or to be able to tag these things onto the back of you. You're paying for multiple accounts. You're running on multiple machines. It follows all the same categories except that they may not like programmatic decision-making, which is a bit tricky. So I don't know exactly what Blizzard will do in response to that. As for whiners, we kind of chose DEF CON because we didn't think you guys would whine. we thought it would be cool as opposed to being, you know, hung or something at BlizzCon. So. yeah, and I'll... Yeah, so, okay, so now that this is public, you take your lives into your own hands, your characters' lives, because they can write signatures in Warden. They can try and disable the add-on, and they can try and be jerks to you the same way they were with other people, like WoWGlider. Although, I think it's arguable that we're not destroying any economies, this is the developer community.
Two of us.
Trying to say, you know, Blizzard... Come on, like, we were having fun. We thought this is a whole new game, you know, a whole new way to release a game. And you took away a bunch of functionality. That's actually pretty cool for developers. That being said, Warhammer Online uses Lua. There's a lot of other games that are going this direction. And think of these techniques in that context, because other games can probably also do the same thing. Yeah, sure. Black. Actually, I'm going to go the black shirt first. So. So any Blizzard employees in the audience, I did want to say this one thing. We, I think, are pretty good people. We try and help charities, and we, you know, we try and do other things. We're not out, like, murdering people or anything like that. That's it? Okay. So anyway, they like to pierce the corporate veil for DMCA stuff and totally ruin people's lives. So if you're a Blizzard employee, just be cool when you tell Blizzard about this stuff. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks.